Pamcha kopaturubhischa kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I'm very happy to be here in the association of so many devotees. In the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami, he's instructed us that paraspara anukatanam pavanam bhagavadyasaha. Said that we should learn how to associate with devotees by hearing Harikatha. So sometimes we see that someone may be a very great dancer, Odissi dance, and they may have a son who's 6 months old and can't walk yet. But that 6 month old son, he's trying in his little way to dance. In one sense, you can say it has no meaning, because if you put him on the stage, he can't do a performance. But in the other sense, it does have a meaning, because it brings pleasure to the father. So here in this assembly, there are so many senior personalities to us, Satchinanda Maharaj and Burijan Prabhu, Mataji. So we are not qualified to speak, but sometimes the child on the order of the father may say something. And that's okay in our village. We have a village life, but we're okay with that. And we'd like to, on this occasion, repeat some things that we've heard from our revered spiritual master, Sri Srimad Gaura-Govinda Swami Maharaj, and from our previous acharyas. Many of us, when we first come to Krishna consciousness, we hear that kevala ananda kanda. It's just simply happy. You just dance, chant, and be happy. But as Satchinanda Maharaj was describing, sometimes Krishna throws a boomerang. Actually, Krishna always throws a boomerang. We hear about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is a great apostle, the great distributor of divine ecstatic love. But we may wonder why, when we look at the pictures in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's always crying. This doesn't seem like a very good thing to me. So, our revered spiritual master, he said that prema, or divine love, is like a river, prema dhara. For a river to flow properly, two embankments are required. And in Sanskrit it's called tatta. Samudra tatta means the shore of the ocean. So for this prema dhara to flow properly, two embankments have to be there. And those are known technically as sambhog tatta, the embankment of union, and vipralamba tatta, or the embankment of separation. Both things have to be there. He described that if there were only union, then love would die an untimely death. So both things have to be there. I would like to go on a journey with all of you and briefly touch on some different aspects of one of these embankments, the embankment of separation. And we'll also touch something on the embankment of union. Both have to be there. And we'd like to contemplate, and as a group we'd like to consider how separation, what relevance it has in our lives, what relevance it will have in our lives. All of us here, we have so much happiness because we've had association with saintly persons. But that association won't always be there. at least externally. And when that day comes, it's a very, very heart-rending thing. And it's a very great test of our resolution. And in some ways, it's actually the beginning of our bhajan. We'd like to describe something about that. We'd like to describe something about how the progress of the jiva, the living entity in this world, and how after going through so many bodies and through so many different experiences, that jiva finally begins to cry out for the Lord. And that's the first kind of separation that we can know. We'd like to describe something how this separation, this is the real bhajan of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, our theology, these feelings of separation are considered to be the pinnacle or the topmost ecstatic experience. In our exploration, we'd like to touch something on feelings of separation from the Vaishnavas and the spiritual master. What happens after the spiritual master goes and the kind of tests that we will experience. We'd like to discuss some things that Srila Prabhupada has described in this regard. We'd also like to explore something of the mood of the beloved son of Mother Sachi. Nomi Krishna Sarupam. He's actually Krishna. But Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam. He's come with the mood and the complexion of Srimati Radharani. What does that mean? In which mood of Srimati Radharani? And why has Krishna come in this way? What is the necessity? Our spiritual master, he used to say that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is two opposites in one container. Very interesting thing. Two contradictory things. He's both union and separation. Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidri Sovanayaiva. In the sixth verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is given in a nutshell the reasons, the internal reasons for the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the first one he says that Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima, that he's come to taste the Pranaya Mahima, or the love that Srimati Radharani has when Radha and Krishna become one. So, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's described that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a extended subject, as he says in one article. He's not alone. Within Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also Srimati Radharani, and also is Sri Gurudev, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. So within Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Radha and Krishna are there together, that's Milan, that's union. But the emotions of Srimati Radharani, the highest emotions, which are known as Madanakya Mahabhav. Srimati Radharani, she's known as Madanakya Mahabhava Mayi. The highest emotions of separation are also there. That's the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's what he's coming to teach us. Sometimes devotees have a dilemma in their spiritual life. We've been chanting for so many years, for 10, 15, 20, 25 years or more. And we think, well, after so long, I should be reading something about Radha Krishna Leela. And we're a little cautious about that. We're cautious for a good reason. Srila Thakur Bhaktivinoda, he describes in Chaitanya Sikshamrita, he says that Bada Jiva, Jada Bhara Jiva Krishna Lila Shravane Anadikari. That the conditioned soul doesn't have qualification for those subjects. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he understood that. So he came to teach us bhajan and separation. And that bhajan and separation, that's actually the life, as Srila Prabhupada says in some of his writings, that's the life of the devotee. Mm-hmm. There's some danger in Milan, in Sambhog. There's some danger in union. If we hear about these pastimes, we may become attracted to them in some mundane way. Even there may be some danger in union or association with our Gurudev and with the Vaishnavas. Once I was traveling with my Guru Maharaj and I was his servant. After a week or so, I had some allergic reaction. And my whole body, my hands, my face, my whole body swelled up so bad I couldn't close my hands. And we went to visit one devotee in England. And he asked our Guru Maharaj, he said, Madhavananda looks very sick. What's happening? And Guru Maharaj said, yes, this is what happens when you come too close to Guru. You have to be very careful. And the devotee said, but he looks so happy. And Guru Maharaj, he said, yes, he's taking it in a good attitude. So I hope we can continue to have a good attitude for that. But there's some danger, even in association too close with the Vaishnavas. So we should study these things. We should think about these things. At the time of the disappearance of the spiritual master, everyone will be put through a great test. So many devotees are there at the time of the spiritual master who are jumping up and down and shouting, Jai Gurudev, Amar Guru, Jagat Guru. My Gurudev is so great. But then after his disappearance, there's a test. And we'll see how many devotees then are continuing to do their service. How many are remembering their Gurudev? It's an easy thing to show some enthusiasm, but it's a difficult thing to follow the instructions. In that regard, we'd also like to hopefully have time to explore something about the mood of bhajan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our previous acharyas, and why it is we chant the Hare Krishna mantra. It's a very esoteric answer. Why don't we chant Nittai and Gaur? They're more merciful. I'm so very fallen. Radha and Krishna is very difficult. Why don't we chant Nittai Gaur? Or better than Nittai Gaur, why don't we chant Janava, Janava, the wife of Lord Nityananda, but she's even more merciful than Nittai. And if we're going to do that, why don't we chant the name of Birchandra, the son of Lord Nityananda? He's even more merciful than her. And in fact, if we're going to do that, then why don't we just chant the name of Srila Prabhupada? He's more merciful than Birchandra Prabhu. And then why don't we chant the names of Srila Prabhupada's followers? We have something better to do. We have something more merciful to do. And we'd like to discuss that. We'd like to embark on a journey, an exploration in that way, about the nature of our bhajan and our theology in regards to these two embankments of this river of Krishna prema. So, thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. So this year at our Govardhan retreat, I've come to do the same thing that I did last year, which is not to prepare a presentation but to read something. Last year I came and read Lalita Madhava, which is a play written by Srila Rupa Goswami. And at Maharaja's request, this year, I have come to read another play by Srila Rupa Goswami called Sri Vidagdha Madhava. Now, this particular play, it's a little complex, so I'm going to need to help you with the characters as we go along. There's 7 chapters altogether. Some of them form a whole story in themselves, and some of them run in one chapter after another forms the story, pastime. Just as we were hearing about this, these two embankments of separation and of meeting, we see that in Vrindavan always these two things are there. Sometimes Krishna is meeting with the devotees and sometimes he's feeling or they're feeling separation from him. So this book is actually a very exalted book. You could say, I could say, it's most definitely beyond my own capacity to enter into and understand deeply. So I was a little nervous when I was preparing, but then I began to think to myself that just as Madhavananda Prabhu described that small child dancing like the father, if Srila Prabhupada desired, we would get at least a child's experience of this transcendental literature, which is one of the most prominent literatures written by Srila Rupa Goswami. So I wanted to start by reading to, at this particular time, the Prastavana. Prastavana means the prologue. In the writing of Sanskrit drama, there's always, in the beginning of an act, especially the beginning of a play, there's a scene wherein the director and the sub-director come in and they speak something together to give the audience some insights into what is the subject matter of the play. This particular drama is also mentioned in the Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita, where Srila Ramananda Roy spoke with Srila Rupa Goswami and asked him about his writing of his two plays. He chose to write two plays. And there Srila Prabhupada has translated many of the original Sanskrit verses. So we begin this Prastavana prologue with two verses translated by Srila Prabhupada. May the pastimes of Sri Krishna reduce the miseries existing in the material world and nullify all unwanted desires. The pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are like shikharini, a blend of yogurt and sugar candy, because they overpower the pride of even the nectar produced on the moon, for they distribute the sweet fragrance of the concentrated loving affairs of Srimati Radharani and the gopis. This is a very famous verse. And the second text of this play is also a very, very famous verse, one of the basic verses of the Chaitanya Chaitamrita. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachidevi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has descended in this age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most elevated mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. The narrator enters and says, "Why speak so many words? Gentlemen, please hear me. Last night, Lord Shiva, who has come in the role of a devotee, spoke to me in a dream. And this is what he said. He said, 'My dear Rupa Goswami, O expert writer of plays, this delightful place is near Kesi Tirtha on the slope of Govardhan Hill. This grove on the bank of the Jamuna River is very pleasant and full of many fragrant and beautiful flowers. And at this moment, eager to see the forest of Vrindavan, the advanced devotees, expert at relishing the mellows of devotional service, have come here. Devotees whose hearts are full of love for Nanda's son, who is the crown jewel of all youths, and who is decorated with many new lotus flowers, playful like a maddened cuckoo, the first teacher of perfect flute players, and an ocean where the sharks of the gopis' hearts play. These devotees are very fortunate.' So then he goes on to describe how the devotees who have come to hear him present this play are very serious devotees, and somehow or another they stay in this world, even rolling on the ground, only by hearing something about Krishna, because without hearing about Krishna, they feel that their life is going to end. Burning in separation from Mukunda, these devotees are now about to give up their lives, said Lord Shiva. Then he said, O Rupa Goswami, please protect them by giving them a little of the nectar river of Lord Mukunda's pastimes. My mercy will give you the power to do this. In this way, Lord Shiva, the spiritual master of the universe, spoke. And the narrator says, I will now obey his order. Then the assistant narrator, he enters and says, Master, having heard the prologue of your new play, the actors now ask permission to enter the stage. The narrator said, Dear student, are the costumes ready? And then he thinks for a moment and he says, So be it. Although the poetry in my play is not very beautiful, the wise will take delight in it, for it bears the scent of Lord Hari. What wise man will not bow his head and respectfully drink well water if it has been used to wash a Shalagram Shila? The assistant narrator says, Please make sure that you give us beautiful and very elegant speeches, for this audience is so learned that they would criticize even the demigods, what to speak of us actors. But he's saying this a little frivolously, so the narrator said, Why do you talk in this frivolous way? After all, now here we're going to hear the qualifications of an audience to hear about Krishna. Ignoring their own welfare, the people in this audience are concerned for the well-being of others. Although they are wealthy, well-educated, and born in exalted families, they're very humble. And when they themselves are glorified, they become embarrassed, as if they themselves had sinned. All glories to the delightful virtues of this saintly audience. Then, looking at all corners of the audience with a loud and cheerful voice, the narrator says, O dear devotees of Sri Krishna, the lion of gopas, beginning to walk on the path of the shameless, a certain actor now wishes to say something to you, the spiritual masters who are wise in the true religion of worshipping the Lord. Please forgive this rash and arrogant person. And he bows down. He says, My learned devotees, I am by nature ignorant and low. And yet even though it is from me that Vaidagya Madhava is coming, it is filled with descriptions of the transcendental attributes of the Supreme Lord. And because of this, will not such a literature bring about the attainment of the highest goal in life? Although its wood may be ignited by a low-class man, fire can nevertheless purify even gold. So although I am very low in nature, this book may help cleanse the dirt within the hearts of the golden devotees. Now, remembering the worshipful Supreme Personality of Godhead, I will show you the sweetness of this drama. Then he begins to offer his obeisances to Sri Krishna and also to his guru, Sanatan Goswami. And the narrator's assistant says, Look! The devotees now present are constantly thinking of the Lord and therefore highly advanced. This book depicts the characteristic pastimes of Krishna and the inner grounds of the forest of Vrindavan by Govardhan Hill provide a suitable platform for the dancing of Krishna and the gopis. Therefore, I think that the pious activities of persons like us who have tried to advance in devotional service have now attained maturity. please hurry and distribute the nectar of Krishna's pastimes. The narrator said, my dear student, I proceed very slowly because I fear the harsh words of persons who do not like the nectar of the Lord's pastimes. The assistant narrator says, Master, please give up this caution, because persons who know how to taste nectar will be delighted by your play, and persons who know nothing of nectar will simply ignore it. Of their own accord, camels avoid mango trees that delight the poetic pika birds. So the hearts of the audience will be filled with wonder. Let the play begin. The narrator says, Student, look, look. And he points off stage and he says, Springtime has arrived, and the full moon of that season inspired the Supreme Lord, who is complete in everything, with new attraction to meet the beautiful Srimati Radharani, to increase the beauty of their pastimes. Offstage, at the same time, you can hear the voice of Purnamasi. Now, Purnamasi is Yoga Maya. She is the potency of Krishna, who arranges everything in Vrindavan. How everyone should be taken care of is done by Purnamasi. So offstage, Purnamasi says, O king of actors, how did your ear become decorated with the flower that is the secret of this drama? The secret that I will arrange the meeting of Radha and Krishna. The narrator suddenly looks off stage and he says, Was that saintly Purnamasi? Oh, look. And they look and he describes her. Wearing a red cloth over her breast, her hair white, splendid like goddess Savitri, and accompanied by a friend, Purnamasi, who is Narada's disciple and Sandipani Muni's mother, now leaves Nanda's palace and slowly walks on the street. Then the narrator says to the assistant narrator, Let us see if all the actors are in their costumes. And this is the prologue. This gives some insight into the pastime that will take place within this drama by Srila Rupa Goswami called Vidagdha Madhava.
Wonderful.
Thank you. This is for the pleasure of Sri Giriraj and Sachinandan Maharaj.
What does Vidagdha mean?
Very clever. Expert, artful, and tricky.
Does that mean we're going to hear the pastimes of Madhava, who is very clever, artful, and tricky?
I think so.
You have spoken well.
The title of my presentation matches, to differing degrees, the presentations of Madhavananda Prabhu, Jagatrini Mataji, and Sachinanda Maharaj. Somehow there is a syncopation and synchronicity that has occurred again. The title of my presentation is The Path of Sanatan Goswami, who is mentioned as the spiritual master of Srila Rupa Goswami. The Path of Sanatan Goswami, and it has a second part of the title, The Twists and Turns of a Great Soul's Test. Yes, even great souls get tested. And Sanatan Goswami, we will hear how he becomes tested right to the core, in a very special way. And he will pass his test. Now, the pastime that I will speak about is from Antilila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the fourth chapter. and it describes how Sanatana Goswami has come to Jagannath Puri through the Jharikhanda forest. And the story of how Sanatana Goswami got to come to Jagannath Puri to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very interesting, and I'll say it only in brief though, because Sanatana Goswami, first of all, is an eternal associate of Krishna. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, appears in this world, he brings his associates with him. Tvisha Krishna. He is Krishna, but not of the color of Krishna, and he is Krishna Varna. He is in the category of Krishna, and he is but Tvisha Krishna, not of the color of Krishna, because his complexion, Suvalitam, he's effulgent. Effulgent with the mood of Srimati Radharani. And he's come for a particular purpose. Unata Ujra Rasam Sabhaktim Sriyam. Sriyam means a treasure. He has a treasure that he wants to relish himself, and he has a treasure that he wants to distribute. Chiram Charat, and he has not done this in a long time. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, Sango Upanga Astra Parshadam, he doesn't come alone, just like when a king comes to a place, a king never goes alone. He's surrounded by his entourage of differing degrees of intimacy. So, Mahaprabhu comes to teach and to relish, and he's surrounded by his entourage, and very, very intimate, in the intimate circle, the most intimate circle, is Sanatana Goswami. And, of course, Srila Rupa Goswami, and, of course, so many others, including Raghunath Das Goswami and the other Goswamis. But we will speak specifically about this one incredibly intimate devotee, Sanatana Goswami. So he appears in this world in a great and pious family, a perfect Brahmin family, from the Bharadraj Gotra, and his ancestors were Brahmins of the Yajurveda. They were experts of the Yajurveda, but also they were kings. Even though they were Brahmins, they were kings. So gradually, that family moved from Karnataka in South India, they moved to Bengal. And there in Bengal, Sanatana Goswami, his prior name is not known, but he advented himself in approximately, I think it is 1488. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advented himself 2 years earlier in 1486. So he was 2 years younger than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and 5 years, some historians say 5 years, others say 1 year, younger or older than his younger brother, Rupa Goswami. And from the very childhood, these two brothers were exalted personalities attracted to Krishna, as one would expect. They were attracted to Krishna. They grew up in Ramakeli or in the area in the Malda district of Bengal, and they played, making pastimes and Radhakund and Shyamakund and the Asta Sakis. They had kunds for each of them, and they would play Radha and Krishna's pastimes. As they grew up, as Sanatana Goswami grew up, one day he had a dream, and in that dream, a Brahmin came to him and offered him a Srimad Bhagavatam. And the next day, do you know what happened? A Brahmin came, not in the dream, but actually, a Brahmin came and offered Sanatana Goswami a Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sanatana Goswami loved the Srimad Bhagavatam. He would study it continuously. Mad Eka Bandhu Mad. What's the next one?
Sangin.
You are my one friend. You are everything to me. Your association is most wonderful. This is Krishna who has come. So Sanatana Goswami was an expert scholar of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he learned, interestingly enough, not only Bhagavatam, but other things from Vidyavistaspati, the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So when the great devotees come in this way, they are setting up a scene in a drama for something wonderful to be taught. So as Jagatirini Mataji was explaining the prologue to the Vidugdha Madhava play, this is part of the prologue, the introduction to this great pastime that Sanatana Goswami is going to enact with his life, and we will hear about specifically in this one chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So at some point, there was the Godadesh, the eastern part of India, now India, Bengal, was ruled by a sultan, and this was this person had imported. This was before the time of Sanatana Goswami. This king, sultan, had imported some slaves, and gradually, or at one point, these slaves revolted. They were cruel, and they revolted against the sultan who brought them all over. And one of those, perhaps the cruelest of all, was named Hussein Shah. And he became the ruler, the king, the Nawab Hussein Shah, the king that we've heard his name, but he was the king who had arisen from slavery. And everyone feared him. And he discovered the wonderful qualities of Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and Anupam. And he said, I want you in my government, or else. And perhaps out of fear of what he would do to the family members and to others, they agreed. But they didn't like it. Interestingly enough, they were the most exalted brahmanas, but they had to serve a slave. And not only that, of a religion that wasn't well respected. So Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami did that, but they didn't like it. Sanatana Goswami, in some histories, he's described as the prime minister, but he was an essential part of the government of Nawab Hussein Shah. But he didn't want to be involved in that government. And another dream came to him, and that dream showed a wonderful effulgent sannyasi. And in that dream, the wonderful effulgent sannyasi said, why are you wasting your time and your energy and your life? You are fabulously wealthy. You are charitable. You are supporting so many wonderful things. You are performing your brahminical duties, but you are wasting your time. You should go to Vrindavan. I have work for you there. In a dream. Do you know who that wonderful effulgent sannyasi was? Yes, Gauranga, yes. Next morning he went to his brother, wasn't known as Rupa Goswami at that time, and he told him I had this dream. And Rupa Goswami explained, yes, I have heard that Mahaprabhu had advented himself in Navadvip in Mayapur. So immediately Sanatana Goswami wrote Mahaprabhu a letter. Please, we've heard you've come, we want to serve you. There was no reply. He wrote him again. And a very cryptic reply came back. And that reply said, I won't read the Sanskrit. One verse was the reply. He said, help us escape from this position, Sanatana Goswami said. And the one verse reply was, if a woman is attached to a man other than her husband, she will appear very busy in carrying out her household affairs. But within her heart, she is always relishing feelings of association with her paramour. Very secret and mystical reply. Save us, they wrote him. Take us from this service. And this was the reply of Mahaprabhu. And then Mahaprabhu took sannyas. He traveled all over South India. How many years was that? 6 years. And they were left only with this hope. And in this hope, in this separation, in this instruction, it caused a boiling in their heart. In that separation, they did not turn their back. Oh, let us find some other thing to do. Let us find someone else to serve. They just kept fixed and their heart boiled and boiled. And their longing to be with Mahaprabhu increased. And then Mahaprabhu returned from South India and he decided to go to Vrindavan. He wanted to go to Vrindavan. Why? Well, you know why. Vrindavan is so wonderful. The name Vrindavan would send Mahaprabhu into ecstasy when he heard the name. What to speak of when he actually ended up coming here. So when Mahaprabhu left for Vrindavan, he decided first to see his two mothers, the Ganga and Mother Sachi, and then he went to Ramakeli, and no one could understand why he went there. Because that was the place of Rupin Sanatan. But Mahaprabhu didn't tell anyone. He was with many of his associates. And the description in Chaitanya Bhagavat of Mahaprabhu in Ramakeli is incredible. He went mad continuously, just chanting and chanting and chanting. He wasn't in external consciousness, just chanting in ecstasy. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Rupin Sanatan knew he was there and they came to him. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it describes this meeting. It's incredible. Nityananda Prabhu was there. Thakur Haridas was there. Gadardha Pandit was there. Srivas Thakur was there. So many of the great Vikeshwar Pandit was there. Their humility was incredible. When they met Mahaprabhu, Rupin Sanatan's humility. So, Mahaprabhu stayed a very short time and then he went back. Then Rupa Goswami decided to leave the government service. Immediately, Mahaprabhu had gone, after a year, he had gone towards Vrindavan from Puri, from Jagannath Puri, and he met Mahaprabhu in Prayag, Allahabad, and then he went on to Vrindavan on Mahaprabhu's order. Mahaprabhu had gone to Vrindavan and was returning. Sanatana Goswami, there's a long story in Chaitanya Charitamrita how he escaped from imprisonment because the Shah would not let him go. He let Rupa Goswami go, but he would not let Sanatana Goswami go. And then finally Sanatana Goswami escaped. He met Mahaprabhu in Benares. Then he went to Vrindavan, and after some time, Rupa Goswami went to Bengal. He went to Puri, spent time with Mahaprabhu, and then Sanatana Goswami left Vrindavan to see Mahaprabhu. He wanted to see Mahaprabhu and have his association. And that is where our story will pick up. Now, I would like to read three out of eight prayers by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Everything that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes is like nectar. The three describe Sarup Damodar. All the whole Astaka glorifies Sarup Damodar. But these describe how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what he's going to do through some of his associates. How is he going to teach? Sarup Damodar, he is yours. With these words affectionately marked with a smile and making Raghunath Das so happy that the hairs of his body stood erect, Lord Gaurachandra gave a sign of his deep love in that secluded place. May Lord Gaurachandra eternally shine in my heart. It's Raghunath Das. Sarup Damodar, how did Rupa Goswami understand the wound within my heart? Read this verse he wrote about it on this palm leaf. Speaking these words, the Lord made Rupa Goswami's heart tremble with ecstatic love. May Lord Gaurachandra eternally shine in my heart. Now, Sanatana Goswami. Sarup Damodar, among these aspiring devotees, you have not selected one worthy to explain the most exalted Parakya Rasa? With a glance, the Lord then singled out the astonished Sanatana Goswami. May Lord Gaurachandra eternally shine in my heart. Sanatana Goswami's and Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami's and others, but especially here it is described how Sanatana Goswami was meant to carry and reveal the most ecstatic relationship, unnata ujanam rasam sabhaktim svyam, on behalf of Mahaprabhu. He was going to carry and reveal the relationship of the gopis to Krishna and the ecstasy that they experienced. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to relish and to teach. In this chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Sanatana Goswami meets the Lord in Jagannath Puri, it's to gain what is to be gained from this chapter. It's going to take you, the listeners, to pay very close attention. Because in this chapter, an entire process of how to develop what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching through Sanatana Goswami, the entire process to develop what Sanatana Goswami is keeping in his heart, the most exalted mood of the gopis, the entire process in brief is going to be described. And Lord Chaitanya is going to use Sanatana Goswami to teach it. There are only, basically in this drama, there are only three characters. The setting is Purushottam Kshetra, Jagannath Puri, and there are basically three characters. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Prabhu, the master, the teacher. There is Sanatana Goswami, and there is Thakur Haridas. Please pay close attention, look for hints on what you can apply to your own spiritual life, and by the mercy of Krishna's Kaviraj, by the mercy of course Srila Prabhupada, who's given us Chaitanya Charitamrita, and by the mercy of Sanatana Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and our acharyas, we may be able to have very deep transformational instructions and experience exactly what we should do to advance. But again, it will take participation on your part, because I'll attempt to read in a somewhat transparent way. But you'll have to keep your hearts open to hear. There will be another part of the class, because Sanatana Goswami is going to be tested. And of course we know he's going to pass the test. The first verse of the chapter describes that Mahaprabhu is going to test him. But we're also going to read right in the beginning of the class some of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, some of the very special Bhakti Rasayan verses offered by Srila Sanatana Goswami, and some of his commentary, his explanation, because in this explanation, he's going to reveal what is in his heart. So we're going to hear from him his realizations about Braja, and what is going on there. And in this chapter, we're going to hear that about the process that Mahaprabhu is going to teach us through his dealings with Sanatana Goswami, of how we can attain the depth of realization that Sanatana Goswami is keeping in his heart on behalf of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is my hope. It's a little bit. But let's see how we do. When I first read this chapter, read it so many times, I thought it somewhat ordinary. How my mind was bewildered. Because there is nothing ordinary that can come from the pen of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj. It is sweet. It has twists and turns. So, Hare Krishna, that is the subject of talk.
Hare Krishna. I have come into a strong dilemma, because I somehow like to go where nectar is, but now I have to go to Purijan Prabhu for sure. For Madhavananda Bhajan and separation for sure, I must go there. Then this Vidakta Madhava is just simply intoxicatingly beautiful. Already the first delivery sent me into the forests of Vrindavan. When you said, look, Purnamasi is just coming from there and she will arrange the meet. I took my special Bhaktivedanta hospital glasses for distant sight. I was just so... Hare Krishna. How to go everywhere? I mean, we must be healthy and go early to bed, I guess. Then it's possible. So yes, I also will deliver a seminar. My seminar's title is called Krishna Lila Stava, Combining Lila with Prayer and Obeisances. Lila meditation with prayer and obeisances. The introduction to the seminar comes really from something which I did when I was very young in Krishna consciousness, or let me better say, very young to going to Vrindavan. I had always seen devotees when I was going around Vrindavan measuring the lengths of the parikram with their prostrated obeisances. And I felt, my God, this is far out. Then I saw devotees doing this at Radhakund, around Radhakund, just paying one obeisances, then starting with the next obeisances, where the hands of the last or previous obeisances had ended. And then one day, Bhujan Prabhu, who at that time was also younger, said, Maharaj, I have seen these devotees doing dandavat parikramas about Vrindavan. At that time I was Sachinandan Das Brahmachari. What do you think? I would like to do it, but I wouldn't like to do it alone. Would you like to also go? And I said, I have been thinking about the same thing, but isn't it a little far out? Just, you know, this will be thousands of obeisances around Vrindavan. And I don't know, you know, maybe a pig will come and walk over me. And I must say, I was hesitant. But then Bhujan Prabhu had already assembled the armor for doing this. That is, pads, two sets of pads for the knees that we could go down, and one for him and one for me. And then something, you know, where we could lay down. It was like a mattress, you know, and so that was our armor was ready, you know, like in the European past, there were these knights who would fight, and they would have armor, protective armor. So we started very early because we really didn't want to be seen by any ISKCON policemen. But we were ready for the experience. And also we heard, if you pay obeisances to Krishna, but you do that in order to be seen by others, then you have the benefit. You send the benefit not to your soul, but to your name, fame, and glory. In other words, you will be known as a far-out adventurous Vaishnav, but don't get the result of paying obeisances that is pleasing Krishna. You will please your ego. So in this way, we started behind Krishna Balaram, tree, I believe, or even more down, that we could not be seen by any straying ISKCON person. And we just did it, and the first 50 meters I was struggling with my mind. What am I doing here? But I remember after 50 meters or 100 meters, I felt so devotional, so blissful, and I started to pray to Krishna. As I was paying my obeisances to him, I prayed to Vrindavan, and all of a sudden it made like boom in my consciousness, some experience where I left my ordinary material consciousness. I really didn't feel any longer I'm Sachinandan Das Brahmachari who does some far out thing. I really felt by the contact of Braj, or and by the repeated obeisances, I'm an eternal soul who somehow or other glorifies Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. It was a shift of consciousness, a transformational experience, if you so wish, which happened, and we continued doing this. And then at one old tree we left our marker. And maybe when we become more young, we will continue together around all of Vrindavan, because it was for both of us an experience which I personally can never forget. So I had full stop. That happened maybe 12 years ago or so.
That's in other words, it was closer to 20.
Close, 20 years ago. 20 years ago, Dandavat Parikrama. Yes, let's continue before we die, Buri Jampabu.
I finished it.
You finished it. Wonderful. Wonderful. I didn't know. So 20 years passed, and then something had happened in my own spiritual life. Something which I'm now very vocative about, wherever I'm traveling in the world, the devotees will hear it in some way or another. The birth of a personal belief in my Krishna consciousness has taken place. And this birth is just very simple, that I crave for an experience in Krishna consciousness which affects a shift of my consciousness. Or as Srila Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam at a couple of places, the whole purpose of Krishna consciousness is to transfer our consciousness from the material to the spiritual level. Shift of consciousness is the whole purpose of the Krishna conscious practice. And a little while ago, maybe 2 years ago or so, I discovered a process which is taught in this book of Sanatana Goswami, Sri Krishna Lila Stava. It's an innocent book. The first verse very clearly describes what is the purpose of this book. It says, Shri Krishnasya Kata Sutram Yata Bhagavata Kramam Likyate Stotara Shatta Pranamananda Sitaye. This summary, Sanatana Goswami says at the outset of his book, this is a summary of Shri Krishna's pastimes, which follows the sequence of Srimad Bhagavatam. And there's a purpose why he has written this book as a separate book from the Bhagavatam. And he is very clear about it. It is written for the bliss of offering 108 obeisances. This book, in other words, is a book about obeisances. But these obeisances, which, as we will learn during this retreat, these obeisances are obeisances which are offered according to the directions of the old Shastras. And obeisances, says, for instance, the Hari Bhakti Kalpa Latika, means that you must take your body, your mind, and the speech before your Lord. Come with your body, your mind, and your speech, and offer obeisances with all these three faculties. Bow down, Mister, with your body. Bow down, Sister, with your mind. And all of you, bow down with your speech. Talk about it. Here, offering obeisances to Sri Hari with body, mind, and speech by persons who are surrendered to his lotus feet is called Vandana by the learned devotees. So, in this book, we have a total experience of throwing ourselves body, mind, and speech before Krishna and invading what takes happen. What takes place at that time. And Sanatana Goswami has described what takes place. The heart becomes filled with, becomes softened, and in a soft heart, the soft bhakti can enter. So the pranamananda, this offering obeisances, offers the highest ananda, bliss, because bhakti will enter into this heart, which becomes softened by this practice. And other things happen also. You will end your birth and death cycle. So we will offer our obeisances. There are four types of obeisances which we learn. There is even an obeisance for those who are old and sit on chairs. You won't need to go get down. There is a very convenient type of obeisances. Everyone will be able to take part. For instance, you just need to do this and the benefit is there, according to the commentary of this book. But what you will need to learn is to use your mind in meditations about Krishna's pastimes. This we will learn from Sanatana Goswami's glorious presentations. We will see figments, or let us say facets, or let us better say we will have glimpses and see Krishna's pastimes through the pages of Krishna Lila Stava. And we will glorify these pastimes, and then we will offer obeisances, and we will all experience the highest type of bliss and finish birth and death. This is the seminar in short. It's highly experiential. It is amazing. I would just like to repeat what Burijan Prabhu said. Why is this so powerful and sure to happen? Well, Sanatana Goswami offers this process in total parampara. It's totally authorized by all the shastras, and he takes help from Krishna. He says in text 414, Paramananda Pataya Premava Shaksharayate Savada Savasevyaya Shri Krishnaya Namostute. This is an obeisance to the Bhagavatam. I bow down to you, who are supremely blissful to read. Your every syllable pours down a flood of prema. You can always be served by everyone. Oh, my dear Bhagavatam, you are Sri Krishna himself. In other words, by following Krishna in his literary form of the Bhagavatam, we will be sure that we will enter Krishna's pastimes, because Krishna knows his own pastimes and he will lead us into them. And we will experience a flood of prema. And this is not just for the high super devotees here amongst you, but it is possible for everyone. You can always be served by everyone. Sanatana Goswami says this famous shloka. You remember, he had this dream of a brahmana coming to him and handing him the Bhagavatam. And next morning, he was just in his puja. He heard a knock at his door. He opened, and there was an effulgent brahmana who said, "I've brought the Bhagavatam for you." He received the book Bhagavatam, and then the brahmana who had brought it disappeared and vanished from his vision. And Sanatana Goswami always knew that this brahmana was Krishna, who had given him Krishna in his literary form as the Bhagavatam. And therefore, he always praised the Bhagavatam as equal with Krishna. He said this, Mareka Bandhu Matsangin Mat Guru Man Mahadana Manishtarakamat Bhagya Mat Ananda Namostute. My only friend, who's always with me, my constant companion, my guru, my greatest treasury, my wealth, my savior, yes, you are my savior, my good fortune, you are my good luck, my source of ecstasy. I bow down to you. So he felt Krishna had come, had put himself into his arms or hands as the Bhagavatam, and was teaching him how to reach the spiritual world. And then he wrote this book. You know, it's a meditation book, it's an obeisances book, it's a glorification book, combining the pastimes with meditating about the pastimes, with offering it obeisances, and with you know, with body, mind, and soul. And we will learn all this, we will do this, and we will not be the same. Anyone who comes to this seminar will fill his heart and his expectations with the process, which is just powerful. So I have, for my, when I was initiated into Dandavat Parikrama by my left arm neighbor, my left hand neighbor, then I experienced something which became later solidified when this book came in my hand, which offers, which combines obeisances. And I want to repeat this again for those of you who are old and are already sleeping. It's feasible. You don't need to be an athlete to pay the obeisances. You can be on your chair and learn how to do this, and experience the total experience of Braj. I can't promise in my seminar, but in this, for sure, in this book. So this is the seminar, Sri Krishna Lila Stava, or combining Leela with prayer and obeisances. That is all for now.
It's not completely all, because something wonderful has appeared by the mercy of Giriraj Govardhan and Sri Gopal
Pashala.
From, you know where? From Natwa, Sri Gopal.
Srinathri.
From the
hill? From
Srinathri.
Gopal. Would anyone like any?
Yes.
Okay. Maharaj, would you like some?
Yeah. Tomorrow. Today I put it in the leaf cup.
Just one little bit.
Okay. A homeopathic dose.
Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
And yes.
And I also brought something. Tulsi leaves from Radha Syam Sunda from his lotus feet, from the Charan. And I think you also brought some. And Madhava, and we also have something. Oh, God. An offering to do. Yeah, to Srila Prabhupada. It's volume 6 of the compilation of the Krishna Katamrita Bindu, which came out for the enthusiastic bee-like devotees a few hours ago. And we will offer it as an auspicious beginning of our seminar to Srila Prabhupada. You must know the title Krishna Katamrita Bindu means a drop from the ocean of nectar of talks about Krishna. So that is, we will we will give pleasure to Srila Prabhupada. And then I would request you to just come by and collect the prasadam from Bhujan Prabhu and the tulsi leaf from myself, and then you might take some herbal tea, go to bed early and be fit for tomorrow. Let us...